Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon.
The chair is here!
Who in the hell are you?
I'm John Cena.
What is the one quality that you possess that makes you think that you can walk out here and come into the ring and face the very best in the business?
Aggression.
You can see, even in this raw form, like John Cena got the goods, man. Just like the little bit he had on the microphone, like there was no hesitation, there was no trepidation. Like he said two lines, but it's like there's a presence here. Like there's a bit of a charisma.
The old man's got a plan, and he's chilling in the building. Can I tell you I'm like light beer? I taste great, I'm the last feeling.
First look at John Cena dressed as Vanilla Ice. You think this guy would never make it. This guy is like...
Cena, you don't respect anything, do you? Look at you. Look how you dress. Look how you act. Look how you talk. Look what you did to the U.S. title. You have made a mockery of the U.S. title, and you have made a mockery of yourself.
What I'm saying is I had a lot of negative thoughts about the JBL character in the past, but like as my taste for wrestling has changed over the years and in terms of what I like and see, I would love to see this version of JBL in 2024. Like,
Cena ducked underneath the... Here it comes! He got him! No way! He got him! F-U! F-U! The cover! One, two, three! It's the champion!
And they call me a thug. They say I have no respect for this business and championships. When I modified the U.S. title, apparently wrestling traditionalists, Jim Cornette and JBL. <got that. laughs>
I would never trust you again, Terry Bollea. And to this day, I never trusted that man, Hulk Hogan.
Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana. And it's only $5. So what are you waiting for?
But back like I never left. Taking each day as it comes. You know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything. BDE on a TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com, whatever podcast app you chose to use today. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, Postmarks. How are we doing?
Hello, Postmarks. Hello, YouTubers, podcast listeners, and more importantly, NXT friends.
Friends.
It's Tuesday night. It's 10:15 p.m. Eastern time, and you can always find us here on the Post Wrestling YouTube live every Tuesday after NXT because Braden and Davey here, that's what we do.
We never stop.
Never stop
we
stopping.
We never stop stopping.
That's our motto sometimes.
No, that means we do stop. That's double negative. No, we never stop. We're always working.
Yeah, always working.
We never stop. I'm confused. But yes, we're here.
Yes, we are here, and we're on the road to No Mercy. We're on the road to All In. We're on all the roads to all the wrestling. Yeah.
To Berlin, to Bad Blood, to there's so much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. So happy wrestling to all that celebrate. We do another show called Poison Rana, which you should search in your YouTube or your podcast app and hit that subscribe, hit that follow, and check out our show from last Sunday, just a few days ago, where Davey and I gave our predictions and full preview for this Sunday's All In from Wembley Stadium, London, England. No, we're not making the trip this time around. We had a fun time last time, but to those going, hope you're having safe travels, and I hope you have a fun time. Hope you check out the Grapple Show. Hope you check out some of the fun, the Sweet Chin Disco, whatever events are going on. It all looks like a fun time. Maybe you're seeing Taylor Swift.
You know, I was having FOMO about this event. Like, I felt good about it, and then the Brian retirement stipulation was added. Yeah. And I saw that Green Day video last week and I was going, oh man, like I am such a Bryan Danielson fan. And I was like, I have to make the trip. And then I got sent something this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck him.
Oh, wait, what?
Fuck him.
What are you talking about?
I don't care. It's the end. I might not even watch the match.
Danielson?
Yeah.
Your favorite wrestler?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
He hates Percy Pigs.
Oh, you're talking about the candy video. Yeah. They let him try a bunch of snacks and
he didn't like him. So
to be fair, it sounded like he doesn't really like a lot of candy. The only thing
he doesn't seem like a candy kind of
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
But they I hope they get there are like vegan versions of the Percy Pigs as well.
Hopefully so they gave him that.
He's not vegan anymore, yeah. But you know, it's they're ethical, I think, I hope.
Like they're just gummies.
They're fantastic.
They're like the they're not my favorite thing, but I can see why people like
they're,
them. Like,
they're tremendous.
But I saw like a condensed version where he was trying all these different snacks, but it seemed like he didn't like a lot of things.
Yeah.
Except he just really wanted to eat ice cream. So
okay,
and he didn't know who Ice Spice was, which just like made me be like, I know you don't, Brian.
Okay,
and you probably shouldn't ever. But
you've told me who that is. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, but, I'm sorry that he doesn't like Percy.
Yeah,
Pigs.
So I'm kind of over it. But you know what? You can still join us. You can see me protest the match in person. No, I'm looking forward to it.
I thought you were going to say that you had so much FOMO from going back home across the pond to England to London. You had FOMO because you're going to miss out on going to Wembley. You had FOMO from British breakfast, like the photo Mercedes Moné posted.
Okay, like I've got some thoughts.
I figured we do. Let's get this out of the way now.
Yeah.
Like,
have we? I've got to find this.
Do we have time to go off?
So, okay, like, we don't have the best reputation for food. I think when you went to London last year, I think you ate pretty well for the most part, right?
Yeah.
I've never been a big breakfast fan. Like, I don't really like eggs or beans or mushrooms.
I think it's an overrated meal of the day. It's not the most important meal of the day.
But lunches. Like people love it and people are proud of their big breakfasts.
Yeah.
Now, to start with, she went to a Wetherspoons, which I like a Wetherspoons for a cheap drink for you know, curry club for that night, for a beer and a burger, that kind of thing. The food, it is what it is, but it's cheap. You're there for the drinks. You're there to, you know, not break the bank before going elsewhere. That's a Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. You can find them. You know what you're getting. Now, this breakfast she got, like, this is my theory. Does it look like she's ordered the full English breakfast from Wetherspoons? Or does it look like she's looked at the menu, gone, I don't know what black pudding is, and I don't like the idea of a grilled tomato, and I'm not sure about that. How about in the little column where it says extras, I order one egg, one rasher of bacon, two mushrooms, and a hash brown.
It looks like exactly what she's ordered.
That's exactly what she's done.
Looking at an egg, a hash brown,
that is not an item on the menu.
Okay.
That is not a Wetherspoons breakfast. And like, again, like Wetherspoons food, it ain't great. It's cheap. It does what it does. But come on, if you're going to have a full English breakfast, you go to a proper, like a proper cafe, a proper greasy spoon.
I'm not British, but because of our trip last year, I feel like I'm an expert on this now for anyone traveling over. Okay, so I've watched my Coronation Street through the years. I know that the Brits love their big breakfasts, and I know that they like to fry everything. Mm. There's a lot to say here because part A here, Wetherspoons is amazing for drinking, especially for us who have a podcast and we could tell people which location and table online so that people could order and send us stuff, which was amazing. And anyone listening who sent us drinks over a year ago now, awesome stuff. And Wetherspoons should be a like British, like historical landmark, all the locations, because what a true smart idea that establishments should do. However, I did not eat there because you said, yeah, the food's not great, but you get good drinks and stuff. So that's my experience of Wetherspoons. I think it's an awesome get drunk spot and order fun stuff and troll your friends because you can do the online ordering and all that. However, British breakfasts, if that's the right way to say that word, they don't necessarily look that appetizing. And they don't necessarily, like, you guys aren't known for food. You're known for stealing other people's food and making it your own and making it good. But when I did go to like a greasy spoon British cafe where everyone, as soon as I started talking, everyone in the restaurant looks over like, that guy's not from here. Mm. And I ordered like the biggest fucking British breakfast I could. It probably took days off my life, but I really enjoyed it. And I was like, wow, I'm happy I got to do this. The HP sauce, the daddy sauce, the whatever those black hockey puck things, though, they could probably go in the bin.
Black pudding?
I like a bite out of it, and then I don't want to finish it. I'm seeing someone in the chat saying beans isn't for breakfast. I could argue that they're pretty good when you have it with like hash browns and whatever things you guys fry up. So don't knock it till you try it. But I also understand that people might not like the big British breakfast, but I had it once and it really hit. It may be because I was really hungover, but it really,
like, I mean, helped. That's what they're great for.
Bacon and
I'm posting like a proper English breakfast. On the thing now. Look, now
we're getting people's first angry about
if
this.
You're that's what Mercedes got.
She got like this sad thing. If you're not sure what you got, look.
Why
this
is
up.
The egg square? Also,
overcooked as well.
That's what it should look like.
Wow, look at that thing.
Yeah, ooh. That's what it should look.
Oh,
like.
You're saying that's what it should look like. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Also, wrestlers, ask advice. Maybe go. Hey, people. You know, whenever we're going somewhere, we're like, hey, where's good to go? Where's good to eat? I'm sure no one told you to go and have the breakfast at Wetherspoons. That's unbelievable.
Maybe it was the airport.
You're the CEO.
You know?
You're meant to be the money person. You're having breakfast. You're having fucking breakfast at Wetherspoons. What's wrong with you?
You should have tea with the Queen.
Yeah, she's dead.
The CEO.
But like, yeah.
Oh yeah. Rip. Sorry. The Queen. The other Queen. The King.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed. Also, I will say. If someone tells you to go to Greg's, just it's fine. Like it's people get really overexcited about Greg's. It's kind of weird. It's
calm down, Greg.
Yeah, it's Greg's. Like it's fine. It's there. You pop in, you get a sausage roll. It's a pound. You leave.
Sounds
it's
nice.
It's not like I wouldn't go out of your way, people, to go to a Greg's. But come on, go to a proper greasy spoon, a proper like a cafe that's bustling with people. The food is probably going to be really, if you like that sort of thing,
yeah,
it's probably going to be really good. And also don't just order off the extras, order a fucking plate or something.
Yeah. Like, hey, at least someone picked her up, but over there across the pond, but maybe someone needs to take you to somewhere to a little nicer to eat. Hopefully I saw Osprey tweeting like, oh, like, sorry about that. But like, you should have asked me.
Maybe ask me. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like go to Nando's is, I think is what he ended with. But yeah, like we had some good times over a year ago, and I had good food like over there. What's the other one like to go? Marks and Spencer's.
Marks Spencer's is like a nice supermarket, but yeah, like everywhere does the meal deal. Which
we did our live event all in it, and I'm like on stage, and we're trying to open the show, and the crowd is full of bars and all the bar is full of people, and I'm getting the cheap pops. I felt like McFoley because I'm like, hey, I'm Canadian, and I went to Marks and Spencer's yesterday and got a meal deal, and everyone's like, yeah.
It's funny, like there's Facebook groups, you know, there's like the Rate My Meal and people are deliberately savage.
Now I know it.
There's ones of like meal deals and the best value you got. So like someone would be like, I managed to get this. I like the hoisin duck wrap from
it was amazing. It was life changing.
So it's like that with like a real McCoy's extra crunchy like chips, and then like a decent like a nice like smoothie or something like that. And it's like, okay, that's solid. That's good going for £3.50 or £4 or whatever it is now. And then someone else will be like a egg mayo sandwich and like an old piece of apple and a bottle of water. And they'll be like, you suck.
Yeah.
You are the worst human being. How dare you? That's awful.
Well, I good over there. So hopefully people traveling.
They're in Cardiff, right? So they're in Wales.
Oh,
right now.
Okay. So maybe that's.
So they should be eating a lot of lamb and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And breakfast should still be quite good there.
Yeah. Hopefully redeem yourself.
Yeah,
for sure. Hopefully you get taken to the right spot.
Yeah,
definitely. We had a lot of fun last year, and I'd advise anyone who maybe is new to us, check out our Patreon, because we did a whole road diary of like 2 weeks straight of like so many different mini shows from all over London, from Berlin and everywhere last year. And a highlight was us trying to find the secret club in the London M&M store. And was it Felix was the security guard who was trolling us? And we made him go on a guest as a podcast right there in the store. And
yeah,
he cheekishly or sheepishly, I should say, did not reveal the club. But
you didn't tell us where the club was. We run Worthy.
That was a fun podcast, though. So definitely check out our Road Diaries from a year ago. But we just did a preview and prediction. That was for free on our Poison Rana free feed. Again, follow if you haven't already. We have lots and lots of shows on that feed, including Shot in the Dark, See No Evil, 15 minutes or less. Fills you in about everything wrestling going on. But yeah, we have All In this Sunday. So we won't be going live on Sunday. Next Tuesday, here on Up Next, we'll start the show by going through All In and giving our thoughts on the whole show and everything, because I'm definitely looking forward to this and do have a bit of FOMO. But Sunday, if you are in the Toronto area, this is your last chance because tickets are almost gone, and we will be filling this bar up at Wide Open in Toronto. Sunday, come for 12 noon, high noon, because we're going to get high at noon, and we're going to party like there is no other because we can't be in London. So we'll party at Wide Open in Toronto in honor of All In. So All In It lives on.
Absolutely. It would be great to see as many of you there as we can. Tickets are limited. It's a small space. You'll have plenty of options to see the screens in there. It's just first come, first serve with seating and that kind of thing. And tickets are almost gone. We're almost full. So if you're thinking of coming along, please do. Also, no kitchen. But plenty of food options in the area, and you're perfectly allowed to to bring your own food inside the bar.
Absolutely. Well. And then I guess we should sort of announce it here as well. If you're in the Toronto area, we will be doing a watch party for Bash in Berlin at Gabby's on the 31st. No,
what the 31st of August. Yeah. 1 p.m. start.
1 p.m. start. These daytime wrestling events. Look at that. 2 weeks in a row of wrestling in the daytime. Aren't we so lucky? Shout out anyone who usually has to watch wrestling at a crazy time. But we're going to watch it during the day. So two watch parties in Toronto, Poison Rana in all the socials. Find the links to our events and hopefully we see you there.
Absolutely.
It's been a long time. It's been fun. But yes, also a way to support us is by going to patreon.com/poisonrana. Shout out to anyone who's given us some love for our first episode of The Champ Is Here. We released it for all patrons this week, and we got a lot of messages, and I love you all, appreciate it, where we go through the history of John Cena. And for the next 16 to 17 months, once a month, we will be putting out an episode looking at the career and highlights and title wins of John Cena. And this Friday, we're so nice. Here on this post-wrestling podcast feed, we will be releasing the first episode in its entirety, completely free.
Yeah.
And I mean complete entirety, meaning all
3 hours, 27 minutes of this show.
Joined by NWA podcasts Nate Milton and Andrew Thompson. Happy birthday. And you know we go along with those boys.
You might have heard the little trailer at the beginning of this show, kind of little clips from that show. And you might be saying to yourself, hang on, I don't remember Hulk Hogan being involved with John Cena's first title win. Nate still finds a way to go off on him. And that's about hour 30 mark to maybe 2 hour 10 mark, maybe. But great chatting with those guys. Absolutely loved this first show. We did. We've been getting a lot of very positive feedback so far and looking forward to continuing the journey, going through every single title reign.
Yes, we have all these shows lined up. We're going to go through each month and go through his entire career. So the time is now. The Champ Is Here this Friday here on this feed. Check The Champ Is Here, episode one. Nate Milton, Andrew Thompson joining us for 3 hours talking about John Cena, including the John Cena album, some movies and everything included there. So this was a lot of fun, and I can't wait for you all to check this out. And available this Friday morning. So get that download and let us know what you think. We'd love your feedback.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and appreciate it.
Another plug, we'll be recording an episode tomorrow with Andrew McDonald, Andrew from Cape Breton, about ECW One Night Stand, the first one, the first Night Stand
05
from 2005. We're recording this tomorrow. We've thrown up a feedback thread on our Facebook and our Patreon, and we'll be releasing the show later in the week. Would love to hear your thoughts on this one. And
I mean, we haven't reviewed this show, which is crazy. It's one of my all-time favorite shows. We reviewed 06 before, but this is the first time we'll be looking at my favorite year of wrestling, 2005, ECW One Night Stand. And I've watched half of it already back today, and I have to finish it before we record tomorrow, but it just brings back so many memories. I was super young when I watched it, and I loved it then, and I Love It Now, featuring Gunther's favorite match ever.
Yeah.
Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka. So definitely looking forward for this podcast. And if you're an ECW fan, I love reviewing ECW. Mm-hmm. Every time we watch it, it's good fun. I love it. So it's so much fun to go back and rewatch. And this was an all-timer pay-per-view, in my opinion. So get ready for this podcast.
You can also support us by going to chop-tees.com. And Dickie Bird has been incredibly busy. We just had the climax of the G1 climax finals. And we've been having, we have winners in the post-wrestling prediction contest, which received some great Chop Tease prizes, courtesy of Dickie Bird. But one of our favorite items is leaving the store forever tomorrow.
Forever.
So head over to chop-tease.com if you want to get the Rocky-inspired WrestleMania 40 Poison Rana movie t-shirts.
Yes, that's right. You can feel like a champion. You can feel just like Rocky. You can feel like how we felt when we went to the Rocky steps.
This is the greatest t-shirt ever.
Ever made.
And it's 15% off, and tomorrow is your last chance to get it. So if you're listening to this on your commute tomorrow, you know, pull over the car, go to the side of the road, be safe, and buy yourself a t-shirt. chop-tees.com.
Yes, chop-tees.com/poisonrana. Get yourself that shirt before it's gone. Get yourself a snapback hat, hoodies, t-shirts. We have everything, and all of it goes to us. It helps your small-time favorite content creators here. The BDE, Poison Rana, up next. It's how you can support us through Patreon, through Chop Tees. And we thank everyone out there for doing that, for appreciating us and loving us. And in full circle, we love and appreciate all of you. Before NXT, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm covered in paint, which is annoying.
What kind of paint? Like you went to a paint party?
Or? No, not at all. I went to work. We have a handyman at work who's just, you know,
doing
touch-ups. All like, well, he's good, he's just a, you know, he annoyed me today,
right? Okay. Well, he got paint on you.
There are three different like restaurants all next door to each other, all the same owners. Two of them weren't open today. My one was. I get in at 10:30 to set up. We open at 11:30, and he had some jobs to do at the other stores and Gabby's, and decided to leave the painting work till the end and do all the work at the place that's not open today first.
Mm.
So I think he painted the place at around 8 a.m. this morning. So everything was covered in wet paint. I'm saying everything. I mean the whole bar area, like any edge, anything you happen to maybe lean on is covered in paint. So
did like any patrons get?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the bathroom doors, both sides.
I'd be furious.
And
you wreck one of my wrestling shirts, I'd kill him.
I was basically playing Operation the whole shift, like don't touch the sides. And the amount of times I'd like suddenly lean on something and be like, fuck.
Wow.
So yeah, I've been like scrubbing paint off all day. So that was kind of annoying. But apart from that, I'm good.
Well, we had a fun night on Sunday.
We did.
We finally, if you haven't heard the story, I'm sorry if I'm repeating it, but Dickie Bird, WrestleMania weekend, went to the Lapsed Fans podcast event and somehow won Terry Funk's branding iron from Terry Funk's estate sale since he passed away. And it's almost been a year. Rest in peace, Terry Funk, the legend forever. But then he gifted this branding iron to John Pollock, who didn't want to fly home with it. So we drove home with it and it's been in our apartment for months. And it's been a great thing to just walk around and pretend to brand each other. Friends come over. We're like, hey, look what we have in possession. People have tried to steal this from our house. But finally, I had to give it back to the rightful owner, John Pollock. And we went over to his house. He made us some brilliant cocktails. We had some whiskey from Bruce Lord. We got to meet the future of post wrestling, Young Jack. Shout out, Young Jack.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Our Eric.
He's
2.0.
Pretty much Eric. Eric Marcotte and Jack need to meet.
Yeah.
I feel like they'd be best friends.
Had a few drinks after as well. That was fun.
Yeah, Jack is a great kid, and I'm happy that we got to hang out with him. But we got to see Wade, John, Mike Murray, W.H. Park. He got a little too lit.
Always.
That W.H. He needs to calm down. He branded me a new name. I was going to say he branded me, which I guess that word is in my mind because of the branding iron. But he kept calling me the bad influence, Braden Harrington. And then I'm like, that one's already taken. So then he called me the the bad behavior. I'm like, that'll be my new wrestling name if I ever make the jump. But we had a nice time. And what was the drink that John made?
I think it was called the Southern Hemisphere is when I looked it up.
Okay.
But it was...
we called it the Jopo.
The Jopo. It was whiskey, Aperol, what was the other one?
Malibu.
And lime juice. And it was actually very, very
good.
It was very nice.
Yeah. And then we had Fernet. We bought
some Fernet.
Fernet Branca, yep. Our favorite.
Had some sours. We had some scotch, courtesy of Bruce Lord.
We got a little twisted at John's house. It was fun times. Yeah, it was good. So post-wrestling universe, a nice little soiree. I look forward to when we do that. We made him keep all the whiskey and Fernet. So the next time we go to his house, we're getting
They're too far and few up. Between these meetups, but they're always fun when we
yeah. go. Yeah, absolutely. Love John, love Way, love everyone at the post wrestling off post office, if
yes.
you will. Except his demon daughter.
They're gonna have to edit this, Brayden.
No, I'm just joking. His kid was security though. His son was security. He had put on shades and crossed his arms, and then Way came to the door and he's like, "You're gonna have to show me some ID." And Way's like, "Yo, it's me." It's pretty funny, but yeah. Good times.
Yeah, great time.
What I did this weekend, I think I told the story where I couldn't see Twisters because of my friend getting stuck in an actual tornado, which mm-hmm. is very ironic. So instead, I went and saw the new Alien movie.
Okay.
Romulus.
Yeah.
Because a few people told me it was actually pretty good. And I'm like, all right, I have skipped a few of the other Alien movies, but I thought it was pretty good and it was pretty freaky and pretty scary. And I definitely recommend it because I thought like for an Alien horror movie, I thought like, okay, maybe we're back. Maybe like, they're back to making some good stuff.
All right.
So would also recommend that. And I did see Twisters eventually, and I fucking love that movie. So definitely recommend that as well. And then I saw Monday Night Raw, where CM Punk finally admits that he is self-proclaimed the Taylor Swift for men.
Yeah.
So
I just want them to, are we doing the bracelet or not, guys? Cause the bracelet was the big focus of SummerSlam, and you know, it was a bit divisive. Some people loved it as like the, I think Way called it like the MacGuffin of this story. Like some people loved it, other people not so much. And then they were kind of hitting home with the, like really making the bracelet part of this. And then Punk has clearly been on Twitter and is like, oh man, people don't like the bracelet. Comes out last week. Fuck the bracelet. I don't even want that bracelet.
Yeah.
And then this week he comes out like, but that represents my fan who flew 9,000 miles to see me and is terminally ill. And it represents this fan. It's like, are we doing this bracelet or not? Come on.
Yeah. I've not been a fan of CM Punk since returning to WWE. Mm. I think it's been not exactly what we got in AEW. Mm. I would argue that his run in AEW was, I don't know if it's a hot take. I think everyone's probably on the same page, but I've hated his run in WWE. And hearing the man say, "I'm Taylor Swift for men," definitely even just really solidified that, like, who are you anymore? Imagine 05, 06 Punk seeing himself like where he is now.
Like, I haven't written him off yet because...
But you're thinking about it.
No, I just think the time will come when they'll turn him heel and he'll be great.
Yeah.
I think. I think like planting these seeds, like the promos that are the pandering promos to the audience and stuff. I think it's great fodder for someone like a Drew McIntyre to call out as a hypocrite or whatever. And it's still not really started. I mean, it's all coming up for a year in November since he joined the company. Obviously, he was injured for a lot of that. We've only really seen a Rumble and SummerSlam match. So I agree somewhat with the promos. I'm tired of the kind of baby face, like happy to be here kind of promos we're getting. But I do still think he's got it in him. And I think once they flip the switch and make him full on asshole heel, I think he'll be great.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's like, did you come up with that yourself, or did they write a script for you and basically like, hey, mention Taylor Swift?
He's on Twitter, like everything.
Yeah. It's just been not necessarily that great. Like I still don't necessarily watch Raw and SmackDown as much, but I'm looking forward to Bash in Berlin. I think, like, first of all, having these events in other parts of different cities, different countries, and at different times of the day for us to watch and consume is awesome and a change of like the normal Saturday night, because I'm sure we'll be going back to Saturday night pay-per-views very, very soon, which we're in the minority that we hate Saturday night pay-per-views. But
oh yeah, despise.
But it's okay. Then they add a pay-per-view the next day with no mercy.
Yeah,
so
it's great.
More is more.
So much wrestling. I did my highlight from Raw this week was definitely Sheamus v. Pete Dunne.
And okay.
I recommend watching it if you get a chance. Sheamus, just another banger. And I think it's cool seeing Pete work the way we know he can work on Raw and stuff. So I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a pretty cool finish to the match too. But was definitely wasn't as high on this Raw as I've been on previous weeks.
Sure.
But there was some good stuff to take away too.
Good. Well, also good stuff. We got to shout out our friend Jordan Goodman from the Detox, from the Wellness Policy, post-wrestling. Jordan Goodman got married the other day.
Yeah.
We love you, Jordan.
Absolutely.
Happy to happy, you and yours.
Happy wedding.
I hope marriage. You got married in your Headbangers t-shirt.
I hope
both
so
of them. They both have the t-shirt.
They both have one?
Yeah.
How?
He said he has like five of them. I heard you talking about that shirt the other day.
Yeah, he's got
like,
five?
He's got like five of them. And ooh. No, he won't give you one. Trust me.
Okay.
He won't, but probably got married in it. Should we talk about NXT?
Let's do it. NXT from August 20th, 2024, live from the Performance Center in Orlando, Florida.
This was episode one of tonight's tapings.
Yeah.
Now, if you've been listening, you know we don't read ahead, okay? You understand? Meaning, yes, they've probably taped or finished taping next week's episode. I'm assuming going into Bash in Berlin and all this stuff, they wanted to get it out of the way. So we have purposely not tried to get spoiled. That's how we like to do things. So if anyone in the chat, please don't spoil. But absolutely. I understand. But please don't. I don't read ahead.
And we open with the women who are going to be taking part in the Eliminator Gauntlet arriving when Izzy Dame attacks Carmen Petrovic and takes her out of the match.
Oh.
So her health is in question and who will be replacing her. And
my health is always in question too. Yeah. But yeah, I like that we start off with a brawl in the parking lot, like good old NXT should. But when I looked at this fight, I just see the blonde hair flying everywhere, and I was like, wait, who is that again? And I have that problem with Izzy Dame, where I'm like, who? Oh yeah, Izzy Dame. And I think maybe a parking lot attack was what will now help me realize who she is here in NXT.
Absolutely. And we go to the ring where it's the Chase U celebration. They're celebrating Ridge Holland and Andre Chase winning the tag titles last week. I like they do the kind of sort of, what is it? Like the student marching band going through the flags.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, like you, at a big football game school out of college or whatever.
All the students in the Chase U section were like going crazy. Yeah. And then the t-shirts, they're wearing the new shirts and the new jerseys as well, which look really nice.
And they say it's a new era in Chase U. There's new classrooms, new everything, and new tag team champions. Thea calls Ridge Holland Ridgey. That's
Ridgey,
his new nickname, and congratulates him. And Duke's like, wow, look at you. You came from the rugby fields, WWE, NXT, and now you're here.
Toronto Wolfpack.
Chase you with the gold. Yeah, yeah. And he says, you have exactly what it takes to hold the gold. Riley Osborne speaks. He says, you know what? At first, Duke and I, we weren't sure on you. We weren't sure on your motives, but you've really proven yourself, and we're happy you did it. And Chase says, on behalf of everyone, thank you. And they have a really nice big group hug when Fraxium comes out. And Fraser congratulates them, says it was a tremendous win, and you were the better team that day, but we think we're the best team every day, and we're the best team in NXT. And Fraser says, look, we got distracted. We ran ourselves to the ground. We were fighting for the Heritage Cup and the Speed Championship. And Ridge, you picked the perfect time to ask us for a match, just off of the back of having a match the previous week. So we are asking you for that in return. Ridge says, look, I appreciate the words, but I don't appreciate you interrupting a Chase U moment. Thank you very much.
Come on. What the hell?
He calls them the little engine that could. He said, I came here to find myself, but the more I looked, the less I could find me. But Chase U never gave up on me, and they rebuilt my confidence. And Duke and Riley challenged me to make sure that my heart was sure. And I busted my ass for 6 years to become champion. And last week, I did it. And last week was bigger than me. It was about bringing gold to Chase U. And the mission statement is mission accomplished. Axiom's a bit more of a dick here. He's like, yeah, that's great, but we won our tag match.
Yeah, screw you.
Duke says, if you can beat Duke and Riley tonight, you can have a title match at No Mercy. So Fraxian goes, okay, we'll see you later tonight. And Duke goes, well, the one thing you should know about Chase U is we're always ready. And they rip off their stripper pants.
Always wanted to do that.
Yeah. And they reveal that they're in their ring gear. So we go right to the match.
Yeah. I like that we had a little celebration. And then Axiom and Frazier, who we kind of were saying last week after losing the tag titles, that, you know what, they have been one of the best tag teams this year. In fact, I think they might be in running for my favorite this year from their matches alone and their chemistry. And I thought them bringing that up in this promo, like, hey, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but we're kind of the best tag team going right now. Mm-hmm. And last week we were like, oh, what should happen to them? Should they move up to the main roster? Should they feud? Should they face each other? Should, like, I personally don't think they should break up. I think at this point they should stay as a tag team. And we originally thought Chase U Wolfpack, if I will, follow me here, was Ridge and Riley. Mm. Now it seems that Chase U Wolfpack is Duke and Riley.
Duke and Riley, yeah.
And I'm not necessarily sure. I know we're going to get into the match. I'm not necessarily sure if, like, Axiom and Frazier should just win these back and then we, wait for it, get the turn that we've been waiting for forever, mm, which at this point I just don't think is coming. But it could be interesting with having Duke and Riley maybe wrestling Chase U as well while being in Chase.
Well, I think, I'm sure we'll get into predictions nearer to No Mercy, but yeah. I do think Chase U will keep these titles, and I think you will eventually get that split. Whether if you do it like the friendly competition to start with and have who's the best team in Chase U, and then that can turn and get a bit nastier.
Freebird rule.
But do, you know, kind of like Ray Eddy, have the friendly and then the losers start getting the jealousy and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I think Frazier and Axiom, their tag matches recently have been absolutely killing it. That we've been treated to great matches the last 2 weeks. The match at Heatwave was a lot of people's match of the night against Chase U.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. So I think it makes sense having the match on the pay-per-view. But I would lean to keep it on Chase U, because I think we will eventually get to this Chase U v Chase U story.
Yeah.
So we go to the match, and Axiom delivers this drop kick to Riley, and it was borderline Shawn Michaels Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam, this sell from Riley, as he took this drop kick and, like, somersaulted out of the ring. It was a lot.
Yeah.
There's then...
Duke is just that strong.
Yeah. No, this was Axiom.
He's also...
Drop kicks him.
Oh, he's also that strong.
Mm. Frazier gets caught by Hudson and thrown against the ring post. And then Riley hits this huge tope con hilo, which looked really nice before the commercial break. After the break, Duke hits his, Trish Stratus-esque handstand Rana.
Stratosphere.
And then a huge sidewalk slam, just turning Frazier inside out. Frazier runs and attempts a wheelbarrow, but gets caught by Duke. And then as he's held up in the air, Riley comes off the top with a blockbuster.
Yeah.
Which looked pretty nice.
This was a really nice tag team move. I thought this looked great. Street sweeper similar.
Yes. There's then a shooting star attempt, which is missed, but rolled through by Riley. And then Frazier just, like, as they're running the ropes, leaps up onto the top rope and delivers a Spanish fly to Riley, which is very impressive. I think we saw, was it Ray Phoenix did this?
One of Ray Phoenix moves.
Yeah, right. Looked really good. Goes to the Phoenix splash, but misses. He hits the superplex into the Chasing the Dragon combo on Riley. And then Frazier hits a con hilo, taking out Duke, and Axiom pins Riley Osborne to win the match and will be going on to No Mercy.
So, yeah, we're getting Chase U versus Axiom and Frazier one more time, which we've had now one, right?
Well,
it was Duke.
It was Duke and Chase to start with, but yeah.
So I'm down to see that match, because so far those two have been awesome. In fact, maybe even make it a 2 out of 3 if you're getting a little crazy. Mm. But either way, that'll be good. But this was a fun match too. And you know what? Riley has been someone who's just been the side piece for Chase U, and we're not sure exactly if he was going to be like a more prominent character, but I think it was good to have him wrestle to kind of showcase that he is good. He's decent in the ring. Like, he does some pretty cool stuff. I think he was just, like, shoehorned into the Chase U to give you a character when you didn't have one. And it's leaving Chase Youth for these guys. What will be like the, like, what does your character become? Just mean because you beat someone up or something. So I'm still like, what does he still have to offer? But I'm wondering, like I said, like the Duke Riley, if they like eventually face the other Chase U members, it could be interesting.
This was some of the most we've seen from Riley.
Yeah.
And I thought he actually did stand out in this match and look great going in there with Axiom and Fraser.
Yeah.
My only thing is I don't know if I'd have these guys at the heels though. I think Duke has been, we've always he's been a dirtbag and we've expected him to go back to his ways. But you know, his like babyface fire up thing he does, like in Toronto, was just, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And gets big reactions. And Riley, I can see the character being like an irritating heel, but his wrestling, it's the same issue I have with like a Sammy Guevara. The actual wrestling style is so fan friendly,
flashy
and flashy that it's hard to come across as a heel in ring. But then when I look at Andre Chase and Ridge, it's a similar kind of thing. It's hard not to cheer for any of these guys, but I think eventually that turn will come one way or the other.
But I stand on whether or not Axiom and Frazier win back the titles. I think they should stay together, and I think they eventually should go to the main roster as a tag team because they could be very impressive.
I think they have a way better chance of
like
being featured as a tag team on Raw or SmackDown than going up as individuals. So.
Was this actually Axiom, or was this just JBL wearing the mask again?
Oh, this was JBL. No, it's been JBL weekend. A while.
So JBL shows up at Triple Mania, but shows that he was wearing what looked like an Axiom mask at the arena, so no one would recognize
him.
But we haven't seen JBL.
Andrew Thompson's favorite wrestler, JBL.
JBL. We summoned that by talking about JBL on our Cena show just last week. But yeah, shout out JBL. But yeah, this was a fun opening match, and I'm excited that, yes, it's a rematch, sort of, but now Ridge in the slot. I think having this one more time at No Mercy is pretty exciting. So far, they've been 2-for-2, and I think the third one, they're going to go balls to the wall. Yeah. So.
We see Stevie Turner and Robert Stone with Ava backstage. We learn that Carmen Petrovic is out of the match. In the background, we see Kalani Jordan being a little stressed as she's pacing around the locker room behind them. This is where Izzy Dame shows up, and she says, well, she's out, so I should be in. And Ava goes, no, I'm not rewarding bad behavior. So Brinley Reese is taking your place. And then Stone and Stevie are kind of arguing over who's going to tell Brinley that she's in.
Yeah, I'm setting up for a matches later. Yeah.
We then see Brinley in the locker room with the other women. And she's told she's in the gauntlet now. And they're all supportive. And, oh, you got this, girl. And Kendall says she's happy she's in there, but it's everyone for themselves. And then Ren Sinclair says that she will win and bring gold back to the Ren QCC.
Yeah, she's brought a lot of life into this like character, the whole NQCC. So it's, she gets laughs out of me now.
Yeah.
I didn't like her at the beginning. Yeah. Now I'm like kind
she's
of
won me over.
Yeah,
sure.
I think she's won you over for sure.
We then go to our next match. Wendy Chu versus Lola Vice. Wendy just dives on Lola early. It's all Wendy just bullying Lola Vice. Lola comes back with an axe kick to the back. There's a neck breaker from Wendy, and then she hits a cartwheel into a clothesline in the corner, sets Lola up in the Tree of Woe, and hits a drop kick for a two count. Lola comes back with her kind of quick kicks and a kick to the spine, but then Wendy locks in the sleeper hold, which gets countered into a backpack stunner. And now both are down. And this is when Kalani Jordan runs out. And well, Wendy Chu has stolen her North American title.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I do not remember this happening.
Yeah, but she chose, this was the time to confront her about it.
Yes. So she ran out like right towards the end of the match, and Lola goes for a spinning back fist. Wendy ducks. She takes out Jordan. And then as Lola's distracted, Wendy whacks her with the pillow and gets the win. And then after the match, Kalani just attacks Wendy. She attacks her with the pillow, taking her out. And she grabs the title, which has been hidden in the pillow. So a loaded pillow. As Vic says, oh, my God, Book, it's a loaded pillow. And Book goes, Yeah, well, what the hell did you think it was?
Of course it is.
I laugh so hard at this.
Like, it's a pillow. Of course there's something in it. It just knocked her out.
Yeah, as soon as she hit someone with a pillow, it's like, okay, hold on a second. Like, yeah, you know something's in there. Usually you keep a brick.
Yeah.
Some teeth. I don't know what other else things you keep in a pillow, but...
Who was Santos who had the like loaded mask?
The mask, yeah, that was genius. But loading a pillow,
yeah,
that's even smarter. I thought that was so funny from Booker T. Like, so, and Vic, yeah.
Do you think
these,
it is?
These two crack me up so much. I love these guys, but this was weird. Like, we've definitely become a broken record for Wendy Chu. Like, we're big fans and we think she's talented, but I don't think this is the character for her. I think the sleepy character originally, like, it had some legs that maybe in the right direction. It was, they're trying for Orange Cassidy. Now they've just added, well, now you're sleepy and spooky. She's wearing like a onesie thing that's got like, you know, I love my aliens, but like, what is this character? Why are you wearing aliens onesie? Why are you still sleepy? Why do you dress like a doll? If it's mind games, it's stupid mind games. And like, yeah. So like, I don't want to count Wendy Chu out because I do think she's talented and she's tried everything that they've given her. I'm not sure if this is something she's come up with herself creatively or they gave to her or whatever, but every time it's on screen, I'm not into it. And Lola Vice is someone who's like, she's been positioned in the past just recently about being more serious when she's gone for the title. But when she does this kind of stuff, it hurts your baby faces. Like, I think of Seth Rollins' Fiend. Like,
yeah,
this cowering. Yeah, like, it just,
right.
When you have to face such a goofy character like this, it just doesn't do anyone anything. So this was my least favorite part of the show. And even Kalani looking so stupid, kayfabe-wise, you were in the last segment frantically looking for Wendy Chu. Mm. You work there. You know where Gorilla is. You know that she's wrestling next. Like, yeah. Come out when she's...
Attack her before the
battle. Yeah, attack her before the battle. Why would you attack her when the match has been going on for like 6 minutes already?
Yeah.
What at random
the
point...
The baby face is in control.
Yeah, it's like that just didn't make any sense. So this was a mess.
Yeah, I really didn't like the ending. It's set up Wendy versus Kalani at No Mercy, which Kalani kind of says. She says, you want to steal the championship, then why not try and take it from me at No Mercy? But yeah, I agree about the character. I hate when you have these wrestlers who have these alter egos or whatever, and they don't change their style at all. I always thought that with Finn Balor, he comes out, he does, okay, it's the demon this time.
Yeah.
And then wrestles just like Finn Balor. Like, we've seen Wendy kind of throw some nice suplexes around and things like that. But I don't think this dead, like, spooky character should be doing cartwheels into clotheslines. You know, there was nothing. She's added a sleeper hold to her arsenal. One of the most boring moves, but fits the character, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's no like real meanness or extra added aggression to it to make it work. And it's, we've said before, it's just such a half-baked idea.
I think she's great. I like Lola too. So like, again, I'm not knocking the actual wrestlers. I just think this character is a little strange and not a character I enjoy watching on TV. Again, I like aliens. Hell, I like sleeping. These are two things I like, but seeing a sleepy character who's spooky and an alien onesie, I'm just like, what's going on here? What are we doing? Is this the best we can come up with for Wendy Chu? Which we've gone through a few things now.
So. Well, I hope we get somewhat of a decent match. You know, Kalani's been awesome, and Wendy, we know, can go and ring. Just she's been
spooky.
Like really hampered with just three fucking god-awful characters in NXT. And I think we are going to get a load of hocus pocus at No Mercy, but I would like to see just a straight up match with these.
We're going to get loaded pillows.
Yeah.
Loaded
pillow on a pole match.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Didn't they have those kinds of matches in WWE before? Pillow matches, pillow fights.
They did.
Yeah. Yes. Make it a pillow fight on No Mercy.
Make WWE great again.
Put loaded pillows in a pillow fight.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Wes Lee is being interviewed backstage, and he says Joe is going to go back. Joe Hendry, that is going to go back to Thursdays empty-handed to wave his hands around side to side with the other clowns. And he says, it's my time, and I'm the one to take the title at No Mercy. And it cuts to Joe, who's being interviewed by Sarah Schreiber at the same time. And he goes, oh, can Wes hear me right now? He goes, well, I take offense, you calling TNA clowns, and your boys came back here to pick you up at your lowest point, and you stabbed them in the back. Yeah. And this is the biggest moment of my career. A 10-year odyssey. I've been making believers of everyone, but tonight I make a believer of myself.
I like that. It's like their other guy is watching and he's being interviewed and he's like, oh, can you hear me? Like, so he can cut the promo on him. Like a little change to what we usually like. Last week it was Pete watching another promo. So like,
yeah,
they're coming in different ways to do that kind of stuff too. I just hope we get another Joe Hendry song down the line.
That's what a I better think. One this
yeah.
time.
Yeah. He needs to outdo himself.
I hope so. Sure. Yeah.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, it's your chance to travel back to November 2004 as Wei Ting and I review WWE Raw featuring Trish Stratus and Lita headlining the show. Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson are going to be covering New Japan's Destruction in Kobe event, and MCU later tackles Agatha All Along. All of that plus Rewind to SmackDown and Collision Course weekly and ad-free versions of Rewind to Raw and Dynamite. $6 a month unlocks it all at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go to Fallon. We get a bit of a video with Fallon Henley, JC Jane, and we hear Fallon saying, imagine dreaming your entire life to be a superstar, and you're traveling up and down wrestling and training in dirty indie rings and borrowing your parents' car and driving 400 miles to make a show, and then you finally make it. And it cuts to JC Jane, who kind of takes over the narrative and says, then we come here and see these D1, 2, 3 athletes, and they never wanted to be here. But they think they should be here. But bitch, where were you? We don't care if you were in the Olympics. We don't care if you were in the WNBA. And none of these girls have listened to us, but one person was smart enough, and that's Jasmine. And Fallon and JC, we grew up, and it shows them at WrestleMania in Dallas. They were working everywhere, every indie date they could get. And we are the example. We are the leaders. We are the fatal influence.
Toxic attraction. Mm. Fatal influence.
Fatal influence.
Okay, so it's definitely taking Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
Right? The movie. And taking... Fatal, wait, traction, toxic attraction, so fatal influence.
I don't mind. There's some definitely worse names in. I'm looking at you, Pure Fusion Collective.
Excuse me?
Oh yeah,
Pure Fusion.
Like it's the Team Forehead, Sonya, Zoe, and
right, yeah. I've never heard their name actually be called. I've only just heard them be called.
They've only just announced them. Oh. And Michael Cole was pretty funny on Raw yesterday because he's like, wait, sorry, let me Pure Fusion Collective. They were just, him and Pat were just ripping it. Pretty
Pure
much.
Fusion Collective?
Yeah.
PFL.
Yes. I'll take Fatal.
PFC?
PFC, yeah. I take this over that.
Fatal influence.
Yes. The fatal influence. You know, I like this video. I've never been aware of the connection with Fallon and Jason.
No, it was good they connected this. They showed them pictures of them at WrestleMania in Texas and tryouts and indie wrestling and said that they like went.
Yeah,
they
all these photos, them like growing up and stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of like this idea of, you know, these are the actual indie wrestlers who have been wrestling all their life, who moved here. These aren't athletes from other places, and they take exception to these gymnasts and basketball players and Olympians and all that who are coming in. I like now that there's a purpose to this group and they're just not mean girls. There's something they are pissed off about. And it kind of explains Fallon's character change as well, where she was trying to be a bit of a mother hen for a little bit. And then she's CM Punk and AEW, isn't she? These bitches ain't listening to me.
Yeah, we love Fallon here. JC is someone who definitely still needs to be in improving down here in NXT, and I think she has been. And obviously Jasmine being super new and the football player being like, oh, we'll get you a soccer player, sorry. For those like, oh, we'll bring you in our group even though you're the one who will listen. How many times have we joked for the past few years of like, oh, you know, how is someone like a Julia or all these indie wrestlers who come in and have to face someone who's a volleyball player? It's like, yeah. What? Like, someone's already had like 5 to 10 years on the indies, you know, having blood matches and blood feuds and this and that, and then gets in there and has to like basically become a teacher to someone else, yeah, who then takes your spot.
Might take your spot. Like, ends up on Raw.
It happens, yeah, a lot. It happens. It's, yeah, been happening for the last 10 years. So like, it's good that they actually reference that. And I like the fact that that's the part of the story is she's angry. My only gripe is it shows her and JC for, mm-hmm, the majority of the video as they're like running down all these athletes and all this, but there's only one person who listened to us. And then it shows, oh, Jasmine's still part of the group, where it's like, yeah, I guess she's the one who listens.
I mean,
to
that's
you.
What they're getting, yeah, at is she is their student because, yeah, she is listening and she is buying what they're selling, that kind of thing.
We love Fallon, so we'll have to let it play out. And a fatal influence, a name is just a name, but it's funny that it's like exactly like Toxic Attraction. Mm. Fatal.
We go to the Gauntlet Eliminator match. So this is basically Elimination Chamber without the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, pretty cool.
You know, start with two people. Eliminations can happen at any time, and people come in every 2 or 3 minutes.
We used to play this on 2K quite a lot, like as a match, because it's kind of fun to have. I like this more than the one they do, the NXT one, the like countdown one. The
oh, I like that.
What's that one?
That's
called?
The
King of the Mountain
Iron
match?
Survivor.
Iron Survivor.
Yeah, I quite enjoy that.
I think this is kind of similar, and I like these kinds of matches.
So we start off with Sol Ruka and Ren Sinclair. Ren's really trying to show off her submissions in this that she's learned from the NQCC. There's a crossface, which Ren gets out of and locks in a single Boston Crab, which turns into a surfboard stretch when Rizzo enters and hits a high cross, taking both out.
Very impressive.
And then a nice looking over the head belly-to-belly suplex and Northern Light suplex. And then Rizzo hits a fallaway slam with a kip up, and then the whoopee cushion, which is like a flipping,
yeah,
sit down senton thing.
Shout out Doink the Clown.
Yeah. There's then a spinning powerbomb to Rizzo from Sol Ruka to eliminate her. Brinley Reese comes out next, and Reese starts hitting these suplexes all over. And then we see her knee almost buckle at one point, but then gets up, hits TKO to Sol, TKO to Ren, when Kendall Gray comes out, and she's delivering these like real like Olympic style, like Fyman carries. There's a Rana off the top. I almost felt watching this, she should be in NQCC because,
yeah,
she was throwing these women around. Looked great.
I thought. She came in doing a lot of wrestling moves. Mm. Definitely. And she's tiny, but she's doing these moves. It's pretty impressive.
Some awesome suplexes and then an angle slam to Brinley to eliminate her. There's then a crucifix pin attempt to Ren, which seemed like it might have rocked Ren a little bit. Sol then gets Kendall up in an electric chair and hits her with a face buster. And then applies the surfboard stretch, the like Romero special style. And Kendall's trying to power out. Timing here was a little off because it was, I mean, it's a hard position. Your legs are all tied up. And she was kind of trying to muscle her way up. And then Ren is meant to come and deliver like a bulldog. But Kendall kind of collapsed just before,
yeah,
Ren got there, which was a shame. There's then an X factor to Ren from Sol. And then Sol just dumps Kendall on top of Ren. Climbs the top with a moonsault to the floor, but this is when Jada Parker enters and takes them all out. She's slamming Kendall around and hits her with a gourd buster to pin Kendall. There's then a roll-up from Ren Sinclair, but as she's in the middle of the roll-up, Sol hits her with the Sol Snatcher, to pin Ren Sinclair in an awesome pin, I thought. Like this,
yeah,
this sort of Sol Snatcher out of nowhere idea is great.
She's so impressive with that move for sure, and how she hits it in different ways is crazy. I still don't understand how it works.
Yeah, it's great. So we've got the final, which is Jada Parker versus Sol. Jada catches Sol on the top rope and delivers a Falcon Arrow, which looked pretty nice. It then looks like Jada maybe gets slightly rocked, and just the timing on everything here kind of goes off. Sol looks like she's going for the like rainbow DDT we've seen her hit before, but then positioning seems off, so it's kind of abandoned, and she delivers this straight jacket suplex instead, and then goes up for a springboard splash, but Jada rolls out the way and then hits her with the teardrop, like the
hypnotic,
the hip attack. Oh, the hypnotic, that's the one, for the win. I kind of felt the final bit sort of fell apart a little here.
Yeah, I felt a type of way about this match. Like, it had some good stuff in it. Shout out Sol Ruka, Kendall Gray, and like everyone did some good stuff, but there was a few times throughout it that it got a little rocky and a little rough, and you could tell like maybe they were trying to figure out what exactly was going on, or maybe some of the things were a little too ambitious. But again, there were some good stuff, so you got to look at it like glass half full, I guess. But there was some stuff I was like, ew. And then the hypnotic is still a thing, and now Jada Parker wins, and it's Jada Parker versus Roxanne Perez at No Mercy. And kind of how I was talking about how, yeah, I like Wendy Chu. I like Jada Parker, and I think she's getting better and better each week. That move really pisses me off. It's just your butt to the face.
And then her other finish was a gourd buster.
Yeah. It's like, ugh. And then like in the match, like you said, there was some stuff that didn't necessarily click. And then now she's the one who's facing Roxanne when Sol Ruka was right there. And Sol Ruka's been the one, like, the past few weeks, been the most impressive on Tuesday nights. So I'm a little
maybe,
like, head scratching.
Maybe they want to wait for a bigger moment for Sol and don't want to just, because Roxanne's winning this match, we assume, whoever she was going to be facing.
So yeah, that's how I thought about the match. And I think, like, hopefully Jada Parker surprises us at No Mercy. But on paper, I'm like,
I think Jada's meant to be coming across as a babyface after this like OC feud, but she's really not coming across like.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, Roxanne is the big baddie heel, and now
it feels like a heel versus heel. And I thought they did a great job of turning Lola in a short space of time to get her in that position.
Yeah,
Jada, I can't see it yet. And I like, it's going to be good for working with Rox, because Rox is great, but. And I think she's got the attitude and stuff, but this feels kind of flat compared to some of the last matches we've had.
Yeah, and again, that's not knocking Jada, because she's so new at this. And like, hopefully this is the match that she impresses and has a breakout match. But so far, I think a little bit too early. But I do think she's got a bit of everything. Like you said, a bit of the character, a bit of the attitude. Some good wrestling too, but the hypnotic has definitely got to go.
I agree. For me, it was Kendall Gray was the star.
Kendall
of this.
Gray and Sol Ruka.
I thought she looked great in this, and I've been really enjoying what we've seen from her in the last few weeks.
Just like legit, anytime Sol Ruka wrestles, I'm like, she hits moves that I'm like so impressed by and haven't seen before. So I think she's definitely one of the future stars down here in NXT.
Jada's interviewed after the match. She says she's hyped. She's going to No Mercy. She's a difference maker of this division. And she says, Rox may be a great champion, but when it comes to that title, Jada Parker got next.
She got next. Yeah, I mean, you see Roxy beating her, and then we get Julia, who is...
I mean, she's wrapping up now, or yeah, she's a 25th, I think, her last match is.
It will
like
be
that.
Time. She will be available. But
we see Ethan Page with Kelly Kincaid, and he says he's offended that someone not in this company and someone who's not on this brand could challenge for this title. Pete Dunne then comes in and says, every champion looks afraid when I look in their eyes. He says he was UK champ for 685 days. And when I get a title on my shoulder, it stays there. And I'll break your fingers and break your ego.
Yeah, ego.
Ego.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of right. He's like, hey, why do I have to face a guy who doesn't even go here? Doesn't even go here. Why do I have to face him if he wins? Which kind of tells me that he's going to win.
Mm.
Yeah.
We then go to our next match. Hank and Tank versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. How excited were you to see this?
Yeah. You know, bless the Good Brothers, the luckiest wrestlers in history. Bless Hank and Tank, to be honest. We love these guys. They're for the boys. But I definitely let out a big groan when this match was happening. And I think I mentioned it last week, but I got a big bone to pick with Hank and Tank. I love them. I think they're going to get better and better, and they're funny and they seem like nice guys. I even love their food reviews on Instagram, but do not do the honk honk anymore. It is, some people might not know, but the tag champs and WOW, it's been their thing for like 2 years. They've been doing this on the indies for like 2 years. It's the Mother Truckers,
right?
Holly Swag. I'm just like, what? Like, you clearly, someone told you, why don't you try doing that? Because like, your name is Tank or Hank or whatever. But it's just like, it doesn't fit with them. And I'm like, don't do it, guys. Just let someone, it's wrestling. You might not even know that someone else is doing it, but someone may probably should tell you, like, hey, just letting you know, they have been doing it a lot before you have. It's just Hong Kong. Don't get me wrong.
It is. And sorry, how many more are watching this than, like, it happens.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen it before
for
with
sure.
Gimmicks and things.
Wrestling moves and things. Moves for sure. Way more than stuff like this. But I'm just like, I do watch them every week. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. And it's their bit. Like, they do it like a million times on an episode.
They hit a double splash to Carl Anderson. There's then a huge boot to Hank from Gallows on the outside. Tank fires up and hits a flying shoulder block off the top. There's then this, this is the finish here, but there's a power slam from Hank as Tank charges and does like the, it's almost like the Joe Coffey head, like running, diving headbutt, like Torpedo Moscow kind of thing,
but
or with a shoulder block or something, but into the back of.
As the guy's running at him.
As the guy's running.
It's Hank using the guy to hit his own friend with.
I don't know if that.
And then the guy drops.
That's much more damage.
So Hank power slams him, pins him, gets the win, and Tank's
and then
like.
Tank's just concussed.
And like, I helped, like shaking his head, like, what the fuck has happened? It was so funny.
Hank and Tank win, but I.
Okay, so yeah.
Sean, Heartbreak Kid. We need a finisher's day in NXT in the PC.
Yeah.
Because I like a lot of these NXT students, but my God, some of these finishers are god awful.
A finisher can make you. A finisher can make you famous. Look at like the history. And instead of stealing silly catchphrases, steal finishers from people on the other shows or indies.
Like, we need to get rid of. Like,
what was this?
We need to get rid of that hypnotic. We need to get rid of whatever the fuck Lexus King is doing.
You mean just the whole character and his whole wrestling? Yeah.
And like, I like the idea. I love, you know, we saw it a couple of times. We've seen Fraxium do the, okay, well, I normally do the superplex into the Falcon Arrow or whatever. How about we do it with the Chasing the Dragon? Cool. This just didn't make it. It looked like Tank really got rocked by taking this.
By running into his own friend.
Running into two dudes with his head.
Yeah, they need to go to the workshop on that one. But they won the match. I just didn't understand what they were.
I mean, clearly it's effective. But
the move where you run at the guy. Yeah.
But yeah, this isn't who do we normally shit on? Percy Watson or Byron Saxton?
Byron Saxton has the worst finisher of all time, but this one is up there. I assume to see this on a Botchamania very, very soon. But bless those guys, because then they made me laugh.
Well, Hank and Tank then definitely watched Pat McAfee's tribute video yesterday, which included Sheamus hugging him and being all sweaty and Pat being like, ugh. Because they then just molest Vic Joseph.
I guess that's the right way to describe it. They're like bushwhackers here, licking his face.
Yeah,
and
they're just all sweaty and like, hugging him and rubbing his hair. And
Vic
everything.
Is like, help me, Book. Save me, Book.
So Vic asks for help. So security then run out. And then, but remember, Hank was a security guard.
Yeah.
Was Tank
both
as
of
well?
Them. Both right. of them.
So they're then like, my boys.
They go, the boys. And then they all celebrate.
They celebrate. And then Gallows and Anderson want to get involved.
Yeah, Carl's fight. Like, yo, what the
and
fuck?
And security like, no, nah, lads, come on.
This was pretty funny. And like, we were talking about this like a year ago when Hank was in the security when they were like, no, you have to leave us. You have to go be a wrestler. And like, that's all paid off down the line from them being like, we got your back.
Yeah.
Even now. So the match was shit. Good Brothers don't need to be in NXT or I don't know what help. what, you know, it's Tuesday in the PC. What are the Good Brothers teaching these young people? Tell me, please, how to stretch your dollar, how to get paid more.
Like, what?
I can imagine Carl getting into the ring and, you know, rolling around with some of them, and then Gallows just sat on the outside and like, yep.
Yeah, that.
What he said.
Yeah, yeah. Carl's like, you know, I fought Okada once.
Yeah.
And that's
G1 finalist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Carl, yeah. So it's weird that they're in NXT, and Hank and Tank, like, bless them, they're getting better, and they did make me laugh at the security stuff, but the match itself was not good.
Did you see the Pat McAfee tribute video?
No, I did not.
They made out. No. Oh. They just made such a big deal about Pat McAfee going away for 3 months.
Right.
I think, like, Kayla Braxton just left. She was in the company for, a decade and just got a quiet thing on .com.
Vince didn't get a video.
Michael Cole was almost in tears. And they're like,
he'll be back.
He'll be back. He's left before. He'll be back.
Yeah.
They do like a whole video. They did like the Bryan Danielson Green Day video for McAfee for his year on commentary. If that was very bizarre.
Yeah. They just really love Pat.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's popular. Sure, I think he's popular. He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We see Sean Spears backstage being interviewed, and
I have to commend Sean Spears. I've been going off on his fashion choices, and I think he's found something. He's got this vest suit jacket thing where he's ripped the sleeves off to reveal the guns, because you're a wrestler, but it's like a nice, properly fitted. Yeah. Like tailored. He's even got his little crest, his logo, Sean Spears logo that looks like Cody Rhodes logo. So he's got something that makes him look not so silly. I didn't necessarily think he looked out of place now. So he's improving.
Fair enough.
NXT has helped him in some strange way, because dude just loves wearing vests and waistcoats and whatever the fuck. But
well, Idris and Malik, who
they didn't think so.
Remember, they've been best friends with Brooks Jensen for these years.
So they said
I love when they do this. Yeah. I mean, they kind of did it with Fallon and Jason, didn't they?
We've been best friends.
We're actually best friends. It's like, no, you've never hung out together.
Never even mentioned them. Now we're best friends.
My best friend.
Isn't that like, you know, I know this has happened to you, and it happened to someone out there, where it's like you meet someone and like you haven't really hung out with them, like at least like for a while or that many times, and then you're out with them. And then they go, oh, it's my best friend, Davey, right here. And you're like, I don't know if I am that. Because people always do that. I'm like, I don't even know your last name. But all right. Best friend. If there's a shot involved, then you're best friend. But yeah. Anyways.
So Idris and Malik are like, look, Brooks was in a vulnerable state and you swooped in like a vulture. And Sean says, well, you two are lost souls as well. And so talented. And if you're so talented, why didn't your friend approach you for help? And they say, we're just looking out for our friend. We're just protecting them. Like the friend you were to Brinley Reese. And Idris like loses his mind.
What did
like,
you say?
Motherfucker, you shut your mouth.
He got really upset.
And then they start fighting.
He punches, Sean punches him.
Yeah.
And then they like beat him up.
The camera guy falls over.
The camera guy takes a bump and the camera's like upside down as you see them like put the boots to Sean Spears, and then they walk off. A different cameraman and refs pick up the camera and then follow, and then like Idris and Malik get pushed away as Brooks Jensen shows up to be like, hey, what happened? So in Star Wars terms, it's basically Sean Spears like, yes, unleash your evil, attack me. That's what you wanted to do. Yeah, so I think we were right last week in if there's somewhat of a smoke, there's fire with possibly these two. They laid them out tonight, and they might wrestle next week or the future, but I think they're going to be joining the learning chair.
I agree. It reminded me of remember what happened to Marco, except Brinley Reese has been on TV every week.
Okay, so Brinley was with them, and then just in the last like few weeks, they've stopped doing those things. Mm. So I'm assuming maybe they've done like this like soft split where they're just not doing those segments anymore. But for him to be like, look, like your friend Brinley Reese, meaning she's left you or you've left her.
Wouldn't it have made more sense if Brinley was in the match and she was the one taken out by Izzy Dane?
Right.
At least like, you know, something bad had happened to Brinley, which you weren't there for her when this.
I think he's referring to like how they didn't want to be her friend. Remember, they were kind of mean to her. Like they didn't want anything to do with her, and she was the one that was like agitating them. Yeah. I think that's what he's kind of, because he's a dickhead.
Okay.
And he's trying to recruit them and everything. I don't know. I'm not saying it's fucking great, but let's let it play out. But
we get a Brooks sighting at the end of it.
Exactly.
He runs up to help Sean.
We get fucking Brooks, and I hope Brooks gets to wrestle on No Mercy. Mm. But I foresee a tag team match coming up soon, playa.
Ava Rain was at Slipknot.
Yeah, I love how this was a segment. Fucking, she's in NXT for like 3 years. Never showed her once in a ring, but shows her at a Slipknot concert.
Yeah, she said hello to them. She might have invited them to No Mercy. I don't know. I don't think so. I think she just...
You're pretty sick.
Was there, yeah.
Slipknot. They were just here.
They were here on Saturday.
Bud or was it?
Scotia.
It's still pretty big.
That's pretty big, yeah.
Like Alexis on Fire and Blink filling out the dome was fucking massive. But I've never seen them, but I'm like, they're pretty popular. Mm. So, and they're on Raw every week.
Are they?
The Wyatt Six.
Oh, right. Yes.
The same people. But yeah, Ava at Slipknot was a segment on this show.
Yes. Not much more to say about that.
What does she say every time she meets? Hi. I don't know their name. Quick, tell me one person in Slipknot.
Corey
Taylor. But like, yeah. Does he have like a Slipknot name? They have names, right? Like Rooster or like
Uncle
Crazy
Howdy.
Face. Or they all have crazy faces. But imagine Ava, like, hey, I'm Ava. And they're like, oh, The Rock's daughter. Ava. Yeah. Okay.
We see the Renkyu CC with the Heritage Cup. And Charlie Dempsey starts off saying, Lou Thesz said the only gimmick he had in wrestling is wrestling itself. Billy Robinson says wrestling is life. And the cup is the breath the NQCC needs to live. And then Ren just interrupts and is like, I don't know who Billy Thesz and Lou Robinson is, but Charles is just as good as them. And
facts.
Then Charlie is like, oh, I'm talking.
Doing a promo.
Ren apologizes. She's like, look, I just lost a match. I'm a little distracted. And then Charlie loses his trail of thought. He's like, wait, where was I? Oh, yes. I will make this the most honorable title in all of NXT. Ren interrupts again, says Charles is going to take our Heritage Cup against anyone in NXT. He doesn't care who it is. And then Oba Femi's music hits.
Ooh.
And Ren just goes, I am so sorry. So Oba comes out and congratulates Mr. Dempsey on winning the Heritage Cup.
Ooh.
And says, when it comes to prestige,
ooh,
the most prestigious title in is the North American Championship.
Ooh.
And it is held by me, the ruler, Oba Femi.
The crowd were doing that after every sentence.
Everything.
He it's said
new, like,
that, that's got to catch on for him and help him even get even more popular. It's great.
And he says, I've defended against so many strong champions and superstars, and I won't hesitate to add the Heritage Cup champion to the list when the family come out.
I mean, talking about great looking vests or waistcoats or whatever, Tony D had some great pants and a great shirt to go.
Oh, yeah, look good.
Stylish.
Dempsey says, oh, I was expecting you to come out, but wasn't really expecting Oba. And Tony just kind of brushes Charlie Dempsey off, calls him Mini Don, and says he has eyes on something else. Ooh. And stares at Femi and says, I don't forget and my family doesn't forget. And he clicks his fingers and the family take out the NQCC, clearing the ring, leaving Tony D and Oba Femi in the ring. And Oba goes for a powerbomb, but Tony slips out of it and then hits a huge spinebuster to the big man. And I'm pretty sure Vic actually yelled out, holy shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Booker then like corpsed and like was pretty much ribbing him. Like, what did you just like? What did you say? Are you sure you said that? Or are you allowed to say that or something like that?
And then he says, in the words of Ron Simmons, damn. And Tony ends segment by laying the North American title on top of Oba.
That was a huge spinebuster.
Looked great, yeah.
Yeah, he really nailed him with that. So, I mean, we can put the pieces together. No Mercy, Tony D'Angelo versus Oba Femi.
I think they confirmed it as well, yeah.
It has been confirmed by the end of the show. So, a pretty fun segment. You kind of get over, like, Charlie. He gets out of – I don't want to see him in Oba because they're busy, and especially busy with Tony. And I think that could be a pretty fun match. And for Charlie, like, I think the cup is more of a TV title. Essentially with the rounds matches and stuff. But again, NXT has been doing the like segments weaving into other segments, and they've done a few on this episode and there's a few more, but even this one, it started with Ren and Charlie, then it had Tony, the family, and then it had Oba. So it's like a few different things going on. Also confirmed for next Tuesday night is the family, meaning Stax, Lucristo, what's his name? Lucristo?
Luca Cristofino,
and Rizzo taking on the NQCC in a six-person tag match, intergender.
I thought this made Tony come across really well in this. They've been... I think this little feud that they've been having where, you know, they've just been brushing past each other during their promos, I've liked the fact that Tony's done it back to Oba. And I think Tony actually getting the, like, showing no fear against Oba Femi and hitting that spinebuster made him come across pretty good.
Yeah.
In the segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
We see Ashanti the Adonis with the NIL women.
yeah. NXT's got a lot of next in line.
Yeah, 2025 calendar, NXT calendar.
Yeah. So these girls aren't in our Chase U calendar. We got to brush that calendar off.
Brand new, yeah.
So Tahuti Miles here, Tahuti and the Blowfish, is hanging out with the girlies, and they ask him, they're not as interested in him. And they all turn around and ask about Dion Lennox. And he's like, Dion Lennox, like, I'll show you in this next match who's Dion Lennox. And then they chat with him. And I like how he puts his glasses on before he gets ready for his match. Mm. Even though he's
good to see how to get at the ring.
And then he takes them off when he wrestles. And he's like, And they're like, oh, Dion. And they're all like, you know, wooing over Dion Lennox. I mean, he's pretty good looking.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's what set up this match.
So he says he's excited but nervous, but he knows the girls are watching.
I don't want this to get like, I don't want this to be mistaken, but like, I like when my wrestling is, this guy's getting all the girls. No, I'm going to show him. That's all you need in wrestling is I'm going to beat you so I can get the girl. That's all you need. We need to go back to, that's why the Dominic storyline is so popular. It's just about girls and guys.
People relate.
Exactly. Yeah. I like this. I love Ashanti the Adonis, and I think I continue to call him the smartest guy in WWE because he's the only one who realizes the true potential of NXT.
We then see Javon Evans, and Ren Sinclair runs up to him and gives him the Heritage Cup and says, can you look after that? I need to run and get some water. I'm thirsty. And then Javon's just like eyeing up the cup when Gallus comes in and says, oh, what are you doing with that? That title represents real wrestling, not this flippy stuff that you do. And they're like, look, let's go for a pint and we'll teach you all about real wrestling. And Javon goes, I can't. I'm 12 years old.
He says, I can't go for a drink. I'm 20 years old.
20. Why didn't you ask me when we were in Toronto a month ago?
Yeah.
Could have gone then.
Wow, 20 years old. He can't even drink in the States.
Yeah, he can't drink because it's illegal.
Can he?
And then Cedric Alexander steps in and does absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. So Gallus had to be on this episode, and they now challenge Javon to a match. I imagine we get some sort of tag match next week.
I imagine we get a tag, but they also kind of hinted that we'll get some sort of rounds match.
Please, God, no.
Which, like, what? A number one contender for Dempsey between, I guess, Joe and Javon in a rounds match, maybe. But yeah, not overly exciting about this. I think there's better spots Javon can be in right now than a Gallus.
He could be one of their top guys. He's already like leagues above other people, and he's 20 years old, which they should definitely like use to their advantage. But wouldn't say this is the most exciting. Again, not sure what this guy's going to learn from Gallus, but we'll see.
We go to Dion Lennox taking on Ashanti the Adonis. Ashanti gets Lennox into the corner immediately. And then Dion, kind of Cesaro-esque, just presses Ashanti up in the air, sending him flying. This is awesome.
He sent him into another universe for a sec there.
Follows up with a really impressive drop kick, a series of punches, and then this nice-looking, like, almost release Northern Light suplex, which looked pretty good. Ashanti comes back with a corkscrew punch to the floor. There's a big spinebuster from Dion, and then Dion gets Ashanti up into a vertical suplex position, but Ashanti thumbs him in the eye and tunes up the band, hitting the Sweet Chin Music to pick up the win.
Sweet Chin Music, Don't Pass the Ox. I like how someone in NXT has to – he's buttering up Sean.
Mm.
Telling you, he knows what he's doing here. He's like, okay, who's my boss down here? Shawn Michaels. Okay. Well, I'll show him. It's no – longer just a transitional move.
Hey, he was doing the pedigree on SmackDown.
Wait,
I'm joking. He never wrestled. I was gonna say,
I was legit. I was like, wait,
that's he had like one backstage segment, and
he was probably Tahuti back then.
Weird. Yeah.
I kind of like the match itself was okay. I think Dion is still pretty green, but from what we've seen, like he has potential, and I've been enjoying how this guy's character is. I'm down here to meet women, and I'm mad that this guy like got the women, so I'm gonna beat him. So either they like become a tag team or they continue this rivalry. I'm okay with it.
So are we then gonna get a video next week of the women are like icing Dion's jaw from the super kick, and he's like, what the fuck? Like they're all like nursing him and stuff.
We're gonna see stuff like that.
Yeah. I like Dion here. Like I thought some of the stuff he did looked pretty impressive. You're right, he's like new to this, he's green, but he's shown potential for sure. And I like Ashanti's finally breaking through. Like he's been in the company a while now, and it seems like he's starting to get something down here in NXT.
He's funny for sure. I like the stuff where he's like chasing after women. I think you're right. I think next week all the ladies are like helping Dion, and he's like fuck, and then gets a rematch, and then he loses, and then the women are all excited that Dion won, and he's like, what am I doing? So then he like really kicks the shit out of him, but. That's just fantasy booking for weeks and weeks of shows.
He finished the match saying, you see that? I'm the pretty one.
He's pretty, pretty. Yeah. Love his fit. Loved his pants.
We go backstage to Lexus King.
Fuck yeah.
Who is having his throne polished up by random backstage people.
That was the last feud.
He wasn't even on the... Oh, I guess maybe for the taping happening after.
Right.
When Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend walk past, and they're mad that Fallon and JC are bitter.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we may have done WNBA and other stuff, but we're here to wrestle, and we want to be here. And next week, we're doing our thing and whipping those little girls. And Lexus says, the Fatal Influence. We've got you all wound up, eh? Got to admit, that is a pretty good name. But all that matters is that Meta 2 go out there and go, wait a minute. Meta 2? Did you just call us Meta 2? He goes, well, yeah. Noam's on the injured list, and Oro is on the biggest loss of his career.
Oh.
Skirt! And then...
Please don't do that again.
Walks off. Oro Mensah then comes in, and he's like, hey, what was that all about? Lash was also mad that that Lexus skirted.
Skirt!
Please don't do that. Oro walks in asking what that's all about, and they tell him, it's like, that prick, Lexus King. And he goes, foolish boy. And Jakara says, look, guys, we've got to stay together because Meta is better. So I imagine we're getting Lexus King and Oro Mensah next week.
Yeah, I like Oro. He's got a nice character. He's really funny, and he's a pretty good wrestler. But being put in a match or any sort of feud with Lexus King is just like anything.
Yeah,
it's just not good.
So we're getting NQCC versus the Family, and Carmen Petrovich versus Izzy Dame confirmed for next week.
Yes,
we go to our main event. It's the NXT number one contenders triple threat match: Wesley, Pete Dunne, and Joe Hendry. Dunne is trying to apply a submission early on to Wes when Hendry runs up and catapults him. So Wes goes head first right into Pete's butch.
Yeah, right into his bruiserweights.
His mangy mark, yeah.
His face went right into his balls.
Yes.
What do you call that move?
What, his dick?
No, what do you call that move? Like the slingshot into the just balls.
Catapult.
Ball washer thing? Or something.
No, I don't know. Dunn goes for a moonsault to the floor, lands on his feet, but eats a super kick from Wes. And then they start fighting as Hendry launches himself over the top rope to take them both out.
This was pretty funny because a pretty impressive move. Joe does the running, like completely jump over the ropes to land on both of them on the outside, which is hard to do. And then as he gets up, he's in position for his taunt where he turns around and knew where the hard cam was like right away and everything. So really perfectly timed to do this and nail this. So I'm sure Joe is trying to fight off the he's just the flash in the pan. He can't actually wrestle. He's just like, all, because there's a lot of people like, oh, he's just the hot funny toy yeah. right now. And I think he's lately, because we have watched him before, he kind of blew up. And lately, he's really, like, doing a lot of the wrestling, like, really pushing that. And you can see it. He's trying. He's really giving it all. And I think it's working.
There was a double fall-away slam from Hendry. Goes for a choke slam to both guys, but this gets blocked. Goes for a choke slam on Dunn, but eats a kick to the face. And then there's a moonsault from Wes taking both guys out. Dunn then takes both guys down to the mat and bends both their fingers back and then hits an X-plex on Wes on top of Doe. Wes then goes for a moonsault but gets caught by Dunn, which gets countered into a DDT by Wes.
Pretty nice.
Which looked very nice. Dunn is then down. Wes goes up the top with a frog splash. There's then a choke slam to Dunn from Hendry. And then Joe goes for the pin, but Ethan Page pulls the ref out the ring.
Ugh.
Joe then choke slams Wes onto the announce table, which doesn't break. And
oh, but it was great.
Someone needs to gif the Wes Lee doing the finger twitches after.
Right.
Oh. As he's lying there.
This spot was great, though. This looks so painful. And, like, again, Joe, like, just throwing Wes. It didn't need to break. I think it looks more painful this way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's another choke slam to Dunn, but now Ethan Page is up the ramp blocking another ref from running down. Dunn hits the bitter end to Joe. And as he's going for the pin, Trick Williams runs in, delivers the trick shot, the flying knee, and then Trick slides the other referee in and Joe pins Pete Dunn. 1, 2, 3. And Joe Hendry is going to No Mercy. And as the show ends, Wentz runs out to attack Wes Lee.
Yeah, Zachary Wentz, Nash Carter, comes in, hooded up, and he attacks Wes, and they start to brawl and fight, and I think we can pencil in another match for No Mercy, which just might be these two.
I feel we kind of know the card by now.
Yeah,
it feels
for sure.
Mainly, yeah.
But yeah, pretty fun main event. Again, I think Joe has to put on his working shoes, especially in a match with Wes and Pete Dunne, who have had crazy matches, multi-man matches together before. And I think Joe slotted in really well. Again, I'm not here for the, oh, he can't wrestle. He's just like the gimmick and the funny stuff. I think he's pretty entertaining. He's got some crazy moves. The choke slam move he does is like a lift up, almost like Big Show.
The chest, isn't it?
Yeah, it's impressive. It's good. And then he's doing the dives and he's doing all sorts of fun stuff, the power slams and everything. So I thought these three had some good chemistry. And I mean, we kind of could see the writing on the wall and kind of knew that he would be the one to win. But it was like there was overbooking, but I think it helps and serves everyone because Ethan Page, whether you like it or not, has been booked as the chicken shit, like lucky heel champion. And here he is legit trying to block a ref. You don't see that a lot. So like he comes up with little things that are very innovative and trying to stop a ref from going down. Like he's playing football, like stopping him. Yeah. The ref's like, yo, what are you fucking doing? He's like, nah, you're not going in there, which was pretty clever. So I enjoyed this, probably one of the better matches on this show. And then you have Wentz coming in, so that spins off with Wes. And then you got Trick and Pete, which you imagine is also set for No Mercy. So it seems like there could be a lot more matches added up there, and it kind of ends with chaos.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty fun match and really designed to, I mean, obviously Hendry won, but I thought they did a good job of, you know, isolating moments for Joe Hendry to look, make him look impressive. Cause I think he's very, he's very over. He's not the most, like, I get kind of LA Knight vibes from him. You know, he's not the most spectacular in ring performer. He's solid, but has such a connection. But in this, the triple threat, you could kind of allow everyone else doing stuff. And then you fly over the top rope,
or
you choke slam on a table, that kind of thing. I thought it did a good job making him come over, but it's like the card is pretty full already. So I wonder what else. I imagine Wes and Wentz, and we imagine the Pete and Trick, but we've already got five matches announced with Kalani versus Wendy Chu, Roxanne versus Jada Parker, Ethan Page versus Joe Hendry, Obafemi versus Tony D'Angelo, and Chase Yu versus Fraser and Axiom.
Yeah, so
maybe a 7-match card.
I'm thinking you add Pete and Trick, one more time. Like, that just makes sense, especially after tonight. And then Wesley and Zachary Wentz. Like, yeah, those are two big.
So we're looking at seven matches.
That's seven.
For this one.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing to be noted is, like, a day or two before, August 30th is TNA Emergence.
Okay.
And the main event of that is Josh Alexander versus Nick Nemeth in an hour-long Iron Man match.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which should be pretty crazy. Mm. But I'm assuming get some more crossovers, and I'm wondering if it's such a far cry, if it's not added to No Mercy, would Wes and Wentz be added to that show?
Okay. Yeah, interesting. You could. I mean, I guess so. It's an option.
I don't know. They haven't necessarily done that. And
well, it's just, we haven't really seen more than six matches on an NXT for a long time. So there is a possibility for sure.
I would prefer to have it on No Mercy, obviously, but that is something.
I mean, that would happen. Do good for pay-per-view buys. So, like, I mean, we'd watch that.
I'm pretty sure it's like I don't know if it's one of their like big pay-per-views, but I think it's one of their like maybe streaming things.
Oh,
like TNA
really?
Plus, or something.
Like IP, pay-per-view thing.
Because like Josh Alexander has been a name floating around for us that we would love to see in NXT. And
oh, it's showing Wentz is in a match.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, he's in a match for the X Division Championship. So
with Riley Osborne's in there as well. Okay.
Oh, shit. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Mike Bailey, Wentz, Riley Osborne.
Laredo Kid, Jason Hotch. Not familiar with him.
And Jason Hackholm. And
not him. No.
Oh, okay.
Friend of the show, but not him. Yeah. But yeah, so like I think we're getting some, obviously with Wentz coming in, I imagine the TNA thing is still going strong, and having a TNA superstar main event your next, you know, PLE for NXT is a pretty big deal. So,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have some feedback for this week's show?
Yes, possibly. We have a Facebook page. You can like Poison Rana, search that in Facebook, but there's a group you can join, and we post up feedback threads and funny things, and no one wrote in. I don't see anyone has wrote in.
No one wrote in.
We didn't have Megan. We didn't have Frank.
Wow.
It's a quiet night.
Oh boy.
So, yeah, I mean, NXT, it had some stuff I didn't like on this show, but they're in a good spot right now. Like,
yeah,
leaning to the pay-per-view. I'm not necessarily blown away with this No Mercy card, but at the same time, I think it could be a heater.
I think adding Wentz and Wes to the card will boost this. I think the Chase U Fraxian match looks good. I think Obafemi D'Angelo could be fun. The three main title matches aren't really doing it for me, though.
Yeah, it's like, okay, but we'll see. We'll see if it gets... I have a feeling it would be a good show. Same with Heatwave. It was like, yeah, whatever. And then it like became one of the best shows of the year in years.
Yeah.
So I have faith with NXT, and it's always still a fun watch. I've been liking a lot of the stuff they're doing. There's still a lot of people that you're watching. You're like, okay, maybe you're not necessarily ready for TV, and certain people, you know, mess up here and there, but it is developmental, and I think with the change to the CW, I think we're in for a pretty big ride in the next few months.
I think so, yeah.
Like No Mercy, going through that card, I do think it looks like it could be a really good show with the addition to some of those matches. But I could see some big things, whether it happens at No Mercy or a day or two after that at the Chicago NXT.
I think that's a bigger priority. And maybe you can always hold off a... Oh, wait, it's the next month, isn't it? Yeah, it's October 1st. So, yeah, you can hold off some big matches for that.
Oh, it's October 1st. Sorry, October not just 1st, a few days. Yes. Yeah. So, Ricky Starks showing up at No Mercy or showing up on October 1st?
I'd save all of them for the TV debut. I don't think you need to kind of waste it on a pay-per-view, to be honest.
I think you're getting someone at No Mercy, whether it's Julia, Ricky...
I feel Julia, you could certainly do, because I think we've known she's coming in, whether it's Julia, whether it's Stephanie Vaquer. I think you can set up Roxanne's challenge, you know, have them show up, do the promo on the NXT after, and set that match for that CW debut. But I would leave any of your other guys coming in, if they are, that is. I'd do that on that CW show. I think you want to have a big, big... You need a lot planned for that one. And I don't mean just bring out The Undertaker and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they just showed up just to show up.
Yeah.
Like, you need to have some sort of a story and reason and stuff. So I hope we get some big names and some things. Because Starks has to be coming. Like, there's been too quiet on the Western front there, and I have a feeling he will be showing up. I would like to see him in NXT. I think he could be the guy here. It's funny because Ethan Page came in, but like, I think he could be even a bigger deal than Ethan Page. So he comes to mind. Lucha Bros come to mind, if that even is something that could be wished upon. But there's probably a few names floating out there that we don't know that have been gone.
Yeah,
like they're a little more like keeping it to the chest, I think, if smart to do so. But yeah,
we do have a super chat from Jake from the Windy City who says, "I hope the Wembley crowd will chant, 'You're gonna get your fucking head kicked in for Brian.' Been wanting to hear that chant forever in AEW."
Yes, they've done it a few times.
It's kind of in his theme.
Yeah,
but we're
not hearing his theme on Sunday. No, we're hearing your
life. Yes.
They're live. I don't know how to put money down. I'm betting that Europe, the band, is showing up because they cost less to pay them to do it live than to just play the song. So
what is their fee?
Probably a lot. But they're playing the third in Italy. So they're Europe in Europe.
Yeah, it would be book nice. It.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Jake, for that super chat. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
But everyone listening here, every Tuesday we go live here on the Post Wrestling feed, the YouTube page. Appreciate anyone out there listening. Again, search Poison Rana in your podcast feed. Listen to our latest All-In predictions and preview. We talk also about the news of All-In Texas for next year and everything going on with Dynamite, WWE, and New Japan, including the G1 and everything. So we cover all the wrestlings on Sundays. We won't be live this Sunday, but next Tuesday, check us out here at the exact same time because we will be going through All In. So anyone who wants to hear us talk about All In will be doing here Tuesday on Up Next. So can't wait to talk about that because I'm hyped about this show. And Jelly, for anyone who's going, safe travels and a lot of fun with the Cardiff show and all the other wrestling. So postwrestling.com, poisonrana.ca for everything. At Poison Rana Pod on X and Instagram.
That is it.
I myself, Brayden Harrington, Twitter, Instagram, at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. Skirt, skirt, and fuck Hulk Hogan.
Ahoy!
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.